Good morning.
Good morning.
A few more people here today than last Sunday, starting out, and there might be a few more people that arrive, but it's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. A special welcome to those who are visiting today, and special welcome to Lorraine Luft, who is our guest pianist while Marilyn is on vacation. And it's good to have all of you here. Want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right next door to the parlor. I want to call your attention to the back page of the bulletin for the calendar this week, and wanting to highlight a couple of the things. Next Saturday is the Habitat for Humanity North Shore International Food Fair at First Church Swampscott from 11 to 2, and that is a fundraiser for Habitat, and we are a covenanting church with that affiliate of Habitat. And Global Ark Baptist Church, the Korean congregation that worships here in the afternoons on Sundays, is joining with us again and providing a Korean food for the International Food Fair. And so we are encouraged to attend, and it is a fundraiser so that you buy tickets and you don't have to have Korean food. There are other nationalities that will be there, and you can have a multi-ethnic meal. So that is next Saturday in Swampscott. Hopefully the weather will be good. And next Sunday, we will be having our annual business meeting at 1 o'clock. Prior to that, we'll be having a soup lunch. And prior to that is our Super Bowl of Caring offering. We'll be hearing about that in a few minutes. But an important Sunday in the life of our congregation next Sunday. You may have noticed, and you might not have, but out in the hallway, there is a sign-up sheet for greeters and coffee hour hosts. And as of a few minutes ago, the month of February was empty. So we are looking for some volunteers who would be willing to greet folks as they arrive and or providing staffing for the coffee hour table after the worship service. And I've been informed that all the sheets through December are already prepared there. So if you've got a Sunday that you have a burning desire to be a greeter or a coffee hour host or both, and you don't want somebody else to take it away from you, flip the pages up and find that Sunday and put your name down so that you can guarantee that you have that Sunday. So I do just want to remind you of that. Also, I've received some free tickets in the mail this week for children to attend the Kids Fun Fair and Zoo at the Wilmington Aleppo Shriners Auditorium February 13th, 14th, and 15th. So I have some free tickets for children under 13. So if anybody knows of some would like to take these and get children in, there has to be an adult that goes with them, and you have to pay the entrance fee. But I do have some tickets here. If anybody's interested in that, you can see me after the service. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 32 for our responsive call to worship. Be reading verse from Psalm 34. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. I will extol the Lord at all times.
His praise will always be on my lips.
My soul will boast in the Lord.
Let the afflicted hear and rejoice.
Glorify the Lord with me.
Let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me.
He delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant.
Their faces are never covered with shame.
This poor man called out, and the Lord heard him.
He saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him.
And he delivers them.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Our opening hymn is, O God, our help in ages past, number 95. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 6 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Our eternal home.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you are our help and our hope. Be with us today. Bless our time together as we seek your guidance and your love. Help us find healing through our faith in you. We ask this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Turn it, he's got it all taped down so it's not going to tip over on us. So he's got it changed to the Super Bowl of 2016.
Very sparkly.
Very sparkly. Did you update the silver?
I didn't update the silver, it just looked so good.
It looks so good, all right, it's shiny. And you know, it's got the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers and the end zones. And there's something tied, you know, to the goalpost here, money, and there's the replica of the trophy that will be won, and the Patriots aren't involved this year, but this is a reminder that while several people are getting ready for big parties next weekend with the Super Bowl of Caring, the S-U-P-E-R, we're going to be focusing next Sunday on the S-O-U-P-E-R. Which isn't a word. If you put it, you type it out, the spell check comes and we all have to change it every time. But it is an offering that we have. It's going to Bread of Life, our local agency. So if you're in the grocery store buying snacks or appetizers or food for next Sunday, you know, I encourage you to think about those that won't be partying next week. Those may not be even inside, but maybe outside next Sunday. Because they're homeless, or they just don't have enough food to, or enough money to afford to buy the kinds of snacks that we might be enjoying. So we're going to be having a soup lunch next week as part of our tradition, but also we will be asking for your donations at the end of the service next week. It's a one-time shot, and we ask that you contribute at least a dollar or more. We've been very generous in recent years, and between $100 and $200 has come in. Each year, so I'm not going to put a challenge out there, although it has worked sometimes, but anyways, whatever comes in will go directly to Bread of Life as they minister to those who are hungry in our area. So just wanting you to remember that, so if, when you see this today, if you look at that, that will remind you to please bring some money, some cash. Well, we'll take checks, too. Just make it out to the church, and we'll cash it and give the money to Bread of Life next Sunday. So let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the entertainment that we have with sports, that we are able to enjoy watching not only football games, but other sports, sporting events, but also the commercials that are so much a part of the big event next Sunday. But Lord, we're mindful of those who are not partying, those who are struggling to find enough to eat from meal to meal. We think especially, Lord, of children and families that don't have enough to eat, that may be going to school on Monday mornings, not having had much food to eat over the weekend, maybe looking for that breakfast or lunch that will be provided at school. Lord, we're mindful of those. And Lord, we just pray that we may be generous in our giving next week, and that we may support Bread of Life and their outreach into the community to those who are hungry. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with us as we continue in our worship, be with our students and our teachers as they go to their class. We just pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So students may go to their class with Mr. Patry's teacher today. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. We want to continue remembering Dottie Ladd. Dottie is suffering from the flu and is still very under the weather. So we want to keep Dottie in prayer today. She's at home. Any update on Jackie? Jackie May. We want to keep Jackie and her husband Alan. Jackie's in hospice care and not doing very well. So we just want to keep Jackie and Alan in prayer today. Betty mentioned that her daughter, BJ, father-in-law, passed away yesterday. So we want to keep him and the family in prayer today. Also, we want to keep the Bowdridge family in prayer. Sue's son, Todd, his wife's grandmother passed away last weekend. We keep that family in prayer. Also, we want to keep the Hart family, Liz and Dave. Dave's dad passed away on Monday, I believe it was Monday night. So we want to keep those families in prayer today as they are going through the process of mourning and services and adjustments. So we want to keep all those families in prayer today. Do you have any requests for prayer, any celebrations or concerns? Sharon.
My sister-in-law Caroline has a colleague and friend named Jim, who it sounds like he's in end stage of cancer, and his wife is pregnant with their first child, and she's in the last trimester. She asked that anyone and everyone pray for them for a miracle.
So I want to keep a young man named Jim in prayer, whose wife is expecting their first child, and he's end stage cancer. So I want to keep that family in prayer today. Naomi.
My aunt Diane came home a few days ago, and we're all glad that she's back.
Good.
Feeling better.
Good. So I
want to
keep her in prayer. Lisa?
I have a friend, Andrew and Susan. They are trying to have a child, so they're doing in vitro, and they're asking for prayers.
Okay. So I'm going to keep them in prayer today. Anyone else have prayer? Debbie?
I'm happy you're back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
And I just would like to pray that there's a piece of real estate that needs to be sold in the family so that it's stress-free or as stress-free as possible.
A burden.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for my son Lenny, fixing his front end loader.
Not good. So we want to keep Lenny in prayer today. Any other requests for prayer? Nothing. I did mention Dottie earlier, but yes, we want to keep Dottie in prayer. And Mom and Dad doing okay, Michael?
Okay.
In Hawaii?
That's a Friday. Yeah.
That's a Friday, great. So we want to keep those who are away from us right now, keep them in prayer as well. So if there are no other requests, let's go to God. Let's think of something that's been mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together.
Thank you.
loving and gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together today to worship you, to spend these few minutes together, and these moments especially in prayer. Lord, for some of us, it may be one of the few times during the week that we actually have quiet moments, that we can reflect, that we can open ourselves to you. We may be unburdening ourselves, or we may just be sitting as receptive selves, waiting for your spirit to communicate with us. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Lord, we realize and recognize that some people are missing that are often here. And Lord, we pray for them this day. We pray that your spirit may be with them. We especially pray for those who are ill and ask for healing taking place in their lives according to your will. We pray for those who are in mourning today, O Lord. We've mentioned several families who have lost loved ones in recent days. And just pray that your spirit of comfort and peace may be with the loved ones as they're sorting out their feelings, as they're making arrangements, as they're adjusting to not having that loved one with them anymore. Lord, we just pray that we may reach out to them and that we may be a source of comfort as well for those who are hurting today. But we're mindful that we have many, many blessings from you. But Lord, we also have worries and concerns, and Lord, we sometimes don't have anything else to turn to. And we turn to you, Lord, and give you all our burdens and know that you will carry them for us. Lord, we pray for those who are in a time of transition, whether they are moving, whether they are completing a job and looking for another one, whether they are out of work altogether and looking for a new job, whether they are approaching graduation, completing a term of school and beginning to, you know, look forward to another time, or well, there's just whatever changes are taking place in their lives, Lord, we pray that you as a constant may be in their lives, that they may find you as a rock, a place of steadiness when they feel that their life is in chaos and under change. Lord, now we pray for those that are hungry today, those who are homeless today. And just pray, Lord, that that situation may change quickly. If there's some way that we may reach out, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to recognize the need and to reach out and care. In Jesus' name, as we love, in Jesus' love that we share with others, we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture this morning together, we've prayed together, we've sung together. Now we have an opportunity to offer our tithes and gifts together as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
presence is here with us now, and we pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us, and that your presence would go out with these gifts, that they may be multiplied, that they may be with us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Coming to read the scripture.
The scripture I'll be reading today comes from the New Testament, Mark 10. Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. Blind Bartimaeus is healed. Then they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road.
Thank you, Naomi. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning these perhaps familiar words for many of us of blind Bartimaeus, Lord, we just pray that if we put ourselves in that scene where we would be, whether we would be Bartimaeus calling out, whether we'd be part of the crowd trying to shush him, whether we'd be one of the followers of Jesus traveling through. Lord, we just pray this morning that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a message from you that may help us and strengthen us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Help! I've fallen and I can't get up. We laugh. You probably have seen the TV commercial where often it's a woman is lying on the floor in obvious distress.
The ad promotes a push-button device that is either worn around the neck or on the wrist that's designed to summon help if the person cannot get to the phone. The commercial is aimed primarily at the elderly and the disabled, but the senior lady on the floor in the commercial utters her plea for help with such melodrama that it's become as big a commercial catchphrase as, "Where's the beef?" And I realize a few of you aren't old enough to remember that. I may be showing my age when I say that. But we often find this ad, not the "Where the beef?" but "I've fallen and can't get up." We often find this ad comical, even though the situations the button are designed to address are no laughing matter. Even though the commercial is rather cheesy or campy or whatever other word you might want to add, our laughter may go deeper than just making fun at poor acting. Perhaps the reasons that we find this ad amusing is because, in general, we think of asking for help as something one only does in the most dire of circumstances. As like last Sunday's message, today's message focuses on a lesson that I struggled with and maybe partially learned during my convalescence in recent weeks. An anonymous author wrote, "Yes, you can do it yourself, but you don't have to." And a Chinese proverb says, "People who ask are fools for 5 minutes, but those who don't ask remain fools forever." Our fiercely individualistic and bootstrap-pulling ethics make it hard to ask for help, even though we now have a myriad of devices that enable us to call for help whenever we need it, including the ubiquitous cell phone that people of all ages seem to have with them at all times and in every place. M. Nora Klavner writes in her anti-self-help book, Mayday, Asking for Help in Times of Need, that asking for help is a universally dreaded endeavor. Whether we're struggling with getting that heavy bag into the overhead bin on the plane or fixing the flat tire by the side of the road, we are much more likely to say, "I'm good," instead of asking, "Can you help me?" Unless it's an emergency that involves calling in professional helpers like the police or firefighters or paramedics. If we fall and can't get up, we generally would rather crawl out to the car that's in the driveway or on the street and get in than inconvenience someone else and thus reveal our problem or weakness. "I'm good, I've got this," we'd prefer to say than to ask somebody to come and help us. In her research, this author, Klavner, suggests a number of reasons we don't ask for help and try instead to do it on our own. First of all, we were never taught how to ask for help, and we have had few role models. Our parents and our grandparents were part of a generation that valued hard work and self-sufficiency. Asking for help was reserved if one was, saying, drowning at sea. That ethic of self-sufficiency has been passed down to many of us. Secondly, we love our independence. In his book, Bowling Alone, The Collapse and Revival of American Community, Robert Putnam reports that Americans are becoming more isolated from one another as attendance has decreased in clubs and community service organizations, including the church. The advent of the internet enables us to pretty much do most things on our own by tapping a few keys on the computer or a few clicks on the computer mouse. We don't need to go to a physical freestanding store in the mall for a lot of our shopping, nor do we need to even be present in a classroom to get an education, which means we never have to interact with potentially helpful clerks or professors. Another reason we don't ask for help is we don't even think about asking. It never enters our mind to ask for help. The author says that we have been so brainwashed by the American ethic of self-sufficiency that asking for help just never comes to mind. We're so focused on caring for ourselves, we don't even realize when we may need help. A fourth reason is it's easier to do it ourselves. A popular American idiom states, if you want something done right, you got it, do it yourself. We don't want to be indebted to anyone and to be in a position of having to reciprocate someday. Or we just think we can do it better than anybody else can. And the fifth and final one is that we may be afraid to ask. We're afraid that for asking for help, what that might say about us. We'd rather die 1,000 deaths than have someone else think that we can't do things on our own. Especially if we're getting up in years, and is that an indication that we can't be as independent as we once were? Is that an indication that we might need some further assistance, or we might no longer be able to live alone? And all of these things come in. So hopefully, I think many of us may be resonating with some of these. But in short, we're very good at trying to do things ourselves, achieving modest results instead of getting real help and making real progress. We miss out on the gifts that someone else can give us. In today's scripture, we find that Bartimaeus had no such qualms about asking for help, and the results for him in doing so were nothing less than miraculous. He is an example of the kind of richness and blessing that can come to us if we're willing to set aside our self-sufficiency for a moment and seek out real help and healing from someone else. Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside as the crowd followed Jesus and his disciples out of Jericho on the way up to Jerusalem when he heard that Jesus was about to pass by. Obviously, he'd heard about this great healer and what he had power to do. And without hesitation, without any sense of embarrassment, the blind man began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Calling attention to himself, asking for help. Even the crowd around him thought that this was scandalous. And scripture tells us that they sternly ordered him to be quiet. "Don't bother Jesus. Stop making a scene." Much like we might be mortified to let anyone in public know that we had a problem. We'd rather keep it hidden. But Bartimaeus continued to not only ask for help, but to cry out for it. It wasn't a quiet little plea, but he was making a big scene about it. And it's through his story that we learn some important principles that can help us when we need to ask for help. First of all, we need to name our need and vow to remain open to other possible resolutions. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar, which means that his only hope for a productive life was to regain his sight. Otherwise, his entire life would be spent on the roadside, begging from other people. He knows his need, but we need to notice that he does not lead with his need for sight, but rather his need to be seen by Jesus. He needed to get Jesus' attention first before he could talk to Jesus. He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner." Not, "Have mercy on me, a blind man." "Have mercy on me, a sinner." For Bartimaeus seemed to understand that his vision was not only clouded by perhaps cataracts, but his own need for spiritual healing may have been more important. He opens himself to the possibility that his healing might be a physical or spiritual healing, with an outside chance that he might need healing in both areas of his life. Asking for help begins when we acknowledge that we have a problem, the presenting problem, yes, but also the underlying ones too. While we may appear fine on the surface, we know that other needs are always lurking underneath. Thus, the more we try to hide it, the more insidious it becomes. There are certain things over which we are powerless, and sin is certainly one of those. To get help, be it physical or spiritual, we first have to name it and what we need help. Bartimaeus knows that. regardless of what's going on with his eyes. He understands he's got an even bigger problem. He prays the original sinner's prayer. And he knows that Jesus can do something about the things that bind him, not only the things that blind him. He is eager for whatever help that Jesus can give. Are we as open to that possibility that we can be healed by Jesus or by others whom he might send to help us? Secondly, we need to take a leap of faith and we need to ask. We have to believe that we qualify for help before we can ask for it. Sometimes we feel, you know, we aren't worthy enough. Other people, you know, you don't need to bother with me. Bartimaeus believed that he was worthy of help, a blind beggar. By society standards, he wasn't much, but he felt that he measured up in Jesus' eyes. Not because he was a great person, but because he was one of God's children. A Jew who had been looking for the arrival of the Son of David, the Messiah. And he shouts out, Jesus, pay attention to me. So when Jesus heard his cries, he said, call him here. You could almost hear people groaning, especially some of Jesus' followers, like, what? Why are you stopping now, Jesus? It's a blind beggar. Just ignore him. But Bartimaeus responded by throwing off his cloak and leaping up to meet the one who could help him. He puts himself in a position to receive the help and risk further embarrassment in order to get close to Jesus. When we see what Bartimaeus did, it was an act of faith. Bartimaeus thinks to ask, and asking is the key to receiving most anything we need. Jesus, in fact, would tell his disciples, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. The letter writer James, however, says that we do not have because we do not ask. Asking God for what we need in prayer and asking others for what we need in person opens the door to healing and wholeness for us. Jesus' response to Bartimaeus is a question of invitation. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus did not assume to know what Bartimaeus was looking for, what help he was seeking. He asked that question, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus is ready with a reply, my teacher, let me see again. What do you want me to do for you? Can we imagine Jesus asking us that question today? What would be our response? If we had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, and he said, what do you want me to do for you today? What would we say? What are our deepest needs that we have not asked Jesus or anyone else to help us with? How might we take a leap of faith and ask, believing that we can receive all that we need and more? Jesus tells Bartimaeus, go. Your faith has made you well. Faith can make us well as well. We may not receive precisely what we want, but we can be assured that Jesus is ready to supply our need. Faith is the catalyst for asking, and asking is the key to healing. The third thing we need to do is to be grateful. One of the keys to asking and receiving help is gratitude. When we have an attitude of gratitude, it tends to shake us out of our self-sufficiency and allows us to celebrate what others have done for us. In a way, giving thanks is the substance that unfreezes the wheels that drive communities and enable us to acknowledge our dependence on God and one another and our relationship to each other. When Bartimaeus received his sight, his first action was to follow Jesus up the road towards Jerusalem. Now, although we know where Jesus was going on his road to Jerusalem, to his confrontation with the power of evil and the cross. The cross awaited Jesus. Bartimaeus was happy to go along. Certainly he didn't understand all that it meant, but he was willing to follow Jesus no matter where that pathway went. He was grateful to Jesus for all that he had done. His gratitude was not merely words, but actions of a follower. Bartimaeus cannot reciprocate what Jesus has done for him, but he can give his life in response. We know how good it is to feel, to receive gratitude when we've done service for others. It can feel just as good to give gratitude when someone has done something for us. It's not about the quid pro quo, but rather about the simple act of saying thank you. When we develop the discipline of gratitude, asking God and giving help becomes a lot easier. We live in a world that has fallen and can't get up on its own. We've fallen too, physically and spiritually. And there are times when we need help in order to stand again. Let us not be afraid to ask, to have faith, and to be grateful to the God who supplies all of our needs, and to be thankful for the people who are ready to help us on God's behalf. Let's pray together. Lord, we do proclaim our self-sufficiency so often, feeling that we're good, we can take care of ourselves. Lord, we must confess that at times we even say that to you, not wanting to admit our needs before you. But Lord, we pray that we may have open hearts, open minds, that we may confess our needs to you, we may admit them, that we may ask for help, that we may call out, knowing that you will be there to respond, knowing that there are others in our community that are ready, willing, and able to help us when we have needs. Lord, help us to look to Bartimaeus as an example of how to call out for help in our times of need, recognizing that life would be so much easier, so much more fulfilling, when we allow others to minister to us as we minister to others. Lord, we thank you for the gifts and talents that you've given to each of us, and we pray that we may be able to use them as we minister to one another. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Jesus is All I Need. This may be a newer hymn for you, for many of you, but I think it's appropriate with the message today. So we'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only of number 577. an unknown author wrote, "Be strong enough to stand alone, smart enough to know when you need help, and brave enough to ask for it." The Apostle Paul gives us these words: "To him by whom means of his power working in us is able to do much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. To God be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ for all time, forever and ever. Amen."